The contents of this page have not been reviewed or endorsed by the Chicago Bulls. All opinions expressed by Sam Smith are solely his own and do not reflect the opinions of the Chicago Bulls or their basketball operations staff, parent company, partners, or sponsors. His sources are not known to the Bulls, and he has no special access to information beyond the access and privileges that go along with being an NBA-accredited member of the media.
Hi, welcome back, Pod People. This is Sam Smith, and I assume you must know that, since you wouldn't be here if maybe you would be and just stumbled upon it. But anyway, this is my weekly podcast. I don't really like calling it that. Something to do with iPods, I think. Anyway, my message, which I sometimes remember, is that you can find this on bulls.com, of course. And you can subscribe to iTunes, which would be the preferred way, because then you could take me on the subway or to the bathroom, whichever is your pleasure. Anyway, there's about a week left in the regular season, and it seems like everybody is now, maybe this is some, except for the few teams that are competing for spots. You know, the Lakers, the most publicized eighth-place team in the history of the league. Who else is playing for something? There are a couple of teams jockeying, the Clippers with Denver and Memphis and that little mix in the West and in the middle. Not much going on in the East. But most of the players, there's always talk over the years about the NBA season's too long. You know, that maybe you could have like a 72-game season. The notion being, well, you know, you can have a 72-game season if you'd all take a 10% pay cut. Well, no, nobody wanted to do that and charge 10% less for your season tickets or whatever. So what the players have seemed to have done pretty cleverly in a lot of places is they've just stopped playing after 72 games. The notion is, Miami's my favorite, of course. They were playing all out for that winning streak. Going for the 33 straight. They got stopped by the Bulls after 27. And then, incredibly, coincidentally, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade got hurt immediately. James recovered a bit, so Chris Bosh got hurt right after that. And then in the middle, Mario Chalmers, whoever exactly that is. Why does Mario Chalmers need a rest? I mean, is this guy actually playing that much? Yeah, I know he's the starting point guard and everything for the best team in the league and the team that is certainly the favorite to win the title. But, you know, don't guys want to play? None of us should compare ourselves to NBA players. But, I remember I played baseball. I was good enough to be a marginal player at a Division II school, Pace University in New York, in baseball. And we had a 20-game schedule, 25, 28, I think, whatever it was, 20 games, because we started in the cold and we'd go down to Florida. And then the season would be over and you'd go play 30 or 40 games in the summer league. And I just couldn't wait. It was never enough. 60 games or 80 games, whatever you'd get through in the summer. It was just never enough. And I just can't believe how many of these NBA players don't want to play. What are you resting from? I know, yes, I'm not going through the back-to-back or 4 and 5 nights or whatever. But, and you hate to make the comparisons back to the players in prior eras, but, you know, but Michael Jordan is hardly, old school, old time player. You know, look at the record when he came back from baseball in the 18, 19 months away, and he wasn't as explosive a player. It wasn't quite the same player. Still a great player, best player in the league. He didn't miss a game for 3 years. You know, the Bulls had clinched plenty of stuff along the way. But he liked to play. He enjoyed playing. The guys didn't sit out. I don't get this. And part of it is a responsibility that is pretty much ignored. I mean, it was different in the early 80s. The NBA was struggling. And the players, you know, were kind of in a partnership with the NBA. They all agreed to a salary cap, you know, in effect, in theory, limiting their salaries, although about half a dozen teams were about to go out of business, so it wouldn't have helped necessarily.
You know, and then there was a feeling, in, you know, in the 80s and Bird and Magic and Isaiah and all those guys who didn't take games off, you know, trying to make the game better. But it transcends that to me. It's that, you know, you, it's not to say you owe the game something, but, you know, you should feel proud. I mean, it's a tremendous exclusive club to be in the NBA. And everybody who is just very fortunate. I mean, it's something you remember your whole life, and it's a great achievement to play pro ball and to reach that. It is a childhood dream, and you know there is some sort of responsibility. I mean, when you no matter where you work, you have a responsibility. Say you work for General Motors or something. It's nice to, you know, you should feel some responsibility to your employer in that sense, or to your company, or to want to see and do better. And there is some responsibility to the game and to the fans as well. I read this little thing in the Charlotte Observer last week, and I know, what am I doing reading the Charlotte Observer, especially with that team? But, of course, I'm always interested in Michael's maneuverings. And actually, you know, as bad as they've been, and I'm digressing, of course, but you know, and they're facing another last place finish next season as well. But I think the Bobcats are lined up for 3 first round picks, a couple of lottery picks as well after next season. And the 2014 draft could be a huge draft with big time stars. And you can turn around your team pretty fast. You get a couple of big time, you know, LeBron-esque type stars. I'm not saying there'll be another LeBron James, but you know, big time players, much more so than in this draft suggested. So, but anyway, Miami was into Charlotte and comes in, what, twice a year, being in a division. And, you know, Wade and James, you know, they don't draw very well, obviously, for a bad team. And Wade and James, you know, two times a year, and people want to see them. I mean, they're the greatest players in the game. LeBron's going to be the MVP, deservedly so. Wade still plays at a high level when he chooses to play. And they're sitting on the sideline in suits. I mean, at least get in the game a little bit. Play 15 minutes. I know this notion of resting, and Greg Popovich famously, you know, rested all his players, and it was doing so. And, it, you know, for the last couple of years with the Spurs, trying to nurse Duncan along, trying to nurse Ginobili, who, you know, has multiple injuries. But you know, guys should be playing. I mean, people are paying a lot of money for these tickets. The regular season does matter. The games matter. And even more than that, I just don't get why guys don't want to play. And not to say a point, go back to Michael Jordan with everything. But that was a difference with Michael. He wanted to play. He played preseason games. He didn't play 40 minutes, but he understood his responsibility of being Michael Jordan, of being the star of the game. And you know, too many of the stars of the game, you know, I hate getting into that lecturing thing about, oh, you know, the old guys were better and they knew. And, you know, there were plenty of jerks back then, and the NBA had plenty of problems, and there were guys who were miserable to deal with. But that said, you know, the stars of the game understood, even more than understood, just like playing. You know, Larry Bird did anything to play. Magic Johnson, I mean, anytime you saw Magic Johnson, you knew he wanted to play, didn't matter. He was going to get himself out there. They love finishing the season. Anyway, all right. So that's my sermon of sorts for the week. Hasn't changed anybody because guys, have basically, as I alluded to before, have turned it into a 72-game season in most spots, and a sort of self-policing and sitting themselves down, whether it's with the coach's cooperation, without the coach's cooperation, with the team's suggestion. And it's unfortunate to see that. Now, you know, so being about a week away from the end of the regular season and the start of the playoffs the following Saturday, you know, the East really doesn't, the Eastern Conference really doesn't pose, you know, much. There's no ninth place team. The eight teams are settled. Milwaukee, being the last one to get in, is set up to play Miami with, you know, undoubtedly, you know, the worst matchup, because Miami is going to come flying in, obviously their guys being well rested. Of course, the other part of that is I do think you lose something when you sit out a long time. You know, we saw it occasionally with the Bulls when they'd have these 10 days off after they would blow through a playoff series and have to wait for a next opponent in 7 games. And So there is something to play, and there is something to keeping. I hate rhythm. I hate that rhythm where the guy's saying I'm in rhythm. I never fully understand what I understand what they're talking about, but it's like coordination. You're in rhythm. You know, you're in coordination all the time. It was like Drew Holiday the other day when he was 2 for 24. And he said, well, I guess I wasn't in rhythm. When the shots were, he said the shots all felt good leaving. I think that was actually a famous Tim Hardaway line when he went 0 for 15 or 1 for 16 one game. And he said, it all felt good leaving my hand. I think Nate Robinson also subscribes to that. But that said, the East is pretty well set. The Knicks obviously have been the hot team, and they're looking toward Miami. But, you know, it's not going to be easy, especially, you know, they're pretty well lined up for what really could be a great second-round series with the Pacers. Pacers have played them well. And the Knicks, you know, as well as they've played, you know, they've been an awful lot of winning streaks this year, obviously Miami's, but Denver had a huge one. New York had a huge one. And I want to say the league's watered down, but the East is really watered down. I mean, you got a lot of teams you can pick up wins with, Charlotte and Orlando. Washington's played obviously better lately, but, you know, Detroit, Cleveland with all their injuries, Toronto, Philadelphia, you know, so you know, it's almost like a college schedule in some sense, you know, the way those coaches schedule themselves into 20 wins. They, you know, start the season with 8 Division II teams or something. Then they go into their league with, you know, 3 or 4 bad teams, and they basically win, you know, if they win 3 or 4 games the whole season, they can kind of get to 20, and it's, so you can get some streaks now, you know, especially in the East with so many, you know, with so many bad teams. And Denver, when they had that streak, they came East quite a bit during that streak. So it kind of helped them, even though they've got a couple with Phoenix and, you know, Sacramento and, you know, beat up Minnesota team, New Orleans. So you've got 10 teams in the league that if you space it right. But these matchups are almost set. And, you know, there could be a change. Perhaps Atlanta could move ahead of Chicago. But it sort of looks like Brooklyn and Chicago 4-5 with the winner facing Miami in the second round. You know, New York and Boston 2-7. And New York's probably too strong for them. But the point I was making with Indiana is that's a tough matchup for the Knicks because the Knicks are weak on the boards, even though I know they have Tyson Chandler. And they also tend to lose their composure pretty quickly, you know, between Anthony, between J.R. Smith, between Tyson Chandler, have a team of really hotheads. You know, the Bulls had a lot of success against them, 3-0, final game Thursday in Chicago. But they were able to get them out of the game. Knicks foul an awful lot. They'll foul. Not quite like a Riley team's fouled every time back in the 90s, figuring the referees won't call it. But also, they don't like to get the fact. You see, Tyson Chandler complains about 94% of the plays he's involved in, and so they'll do a lot of complaining to the officials. They'll get taken out of it if you run them off the 3-point line and you out rebound them, pound them on the boards, and playing physical. They tend to lose their composure and get unsettled, and then Anthony starts shooting a lot. So, as well as they've played, they got some issues, and you know, of course, the big one hanging out there is if Stoudemire comes back. Which they, you know, it's amazing to watch this, that the whole season's been about, geez, I hope he's still hurt and doesn't come back and mess up our chemistry to our highest paid player on the team. Actually, in the West is really where it's going to be interesting. And I think, you know, Oklahoma, not that they lost to the Knicks, which they did Sunday, but what exposed them is what happens when they get in games that are close, that are tough. They're going to revert even more so to one-on-one play. It was pretty remarkable. There wasn't a single Thunder starter that had an assist in the fourth quarter. I mean, you watch him, and it's all one-on-one with Westbrook and Durant. Westbrook obviously taking Durant out of the game. Point guard is supposed to be exactly kind of the opposite. You're supposed to get your best scorer into the game. Westbrook, in the frenzy he plays in, it's kind of remarkable to watch him because he's in a fury. And he's a great talent, no question about it. But he takes his team out. And so, you know, the absence of Harden is going to loom larger and larger. Not so much the scoring, but it's the ball handling and playmaking down the stretch where they could take Westbrook off the ball. They had to play Reggie Jackson the entire fourth quarter just to get the ball out of Harden's hand occasionally. And then with the Spurs having their injuries, Tony Parker back out with some mysterious shin injuries connected to his ankle injuries, which Popovich said doesn't look good, which I agree with that. Ginobili out for a while now. I mean, you can't. As great as Tim Duncan be, I think you make a case that Duncan, you know, maybe should be in the top five on MVP voting as well as he's played. But how much you can rely on that, Tim, during the playoffs without the support of those guys? So it really opens up the West. I think the West is going to be, you know, fabulous playoffs with, you know, quote, potential upsets, only because there are so many good teams and it's so deep and the team's on top. Even Oklahoma City is still good, still very good, but flawed now, much more flawed than they were and vulnerable. And obviously, you know, we'll find out with the Lakers having slipped a little bit after the loss to the Clippers on Sunday. Utah wins, and, you know, it seemed like a couple of weeks ago Lakers had straightened themselves out. Utah, I thought for sure, was going to fall back. You know, a team with a lot of free agents, difficult, you know, rotation with so many not only free agents looking for new deals, but a lot of young players and a lot of depth. You know, a team with an interesting young core with Favors and Kanter, Burks, you know, and Ty Corbin just having difficulty rotating all those guys through. But, you know, they had a couple injuries now and, you know, rotation settled. And so, you know, they could get in. Now, the interesting part is you would think they would be an easy out for whoever's won, be it San Antonio or Oklahoma City. Whereas the Lakers, you know, we keep thinking that they're going to be good, and they've got this tremendous number of players. Pau Gasol back. You know, Artest saying he's coming back way early from surgery. Obviously, Kobe barely ever leaving the court. Dwight Howard looking better. You know, not jumping, certainly not, still not jumping as well as he did before. Not as explosive, but, you know, still pulling in. You know, haven't been able to get, 15 and 15 games or 20 and 12, whatever. And it's hard to believe that they'll miss the playoffs. It would have to be, you know, the kind of the worst regular season in history to miss the playoffs with that. Steve Nash in and out, obviously, but even still. So, but that said, there'll be some tremendous matchups. You know, if Memphis happens to play the Clippers, where, you know, they're kind of matched up now, you know, that's one really good team, a team that could legitimately get to the finals, that could be out in the first round. Either the Grizzlies having that kind of season, probably the best defense, so the way they play slow, physical team, and the Clippers with that great depth and all their athletes, but a team that ends up caught up in highlights a lot more than fundamental play. And then, you know, Houston's a scary team, just the way they score, their pace of play. You know, they can get in a series with, say, a team like the Spurs. They're just not going to be able to score with that kind of team. You know, and Houston kind of hanging in there at seven. You know, Denver also being a team that nobody wants to face. Obviously, the injury of Gallinari, but they've got a lot of depth. You know, Brewer and Wilson Chandler been able to come in, you know, guys who haven't gotten, you know, have gotten a lot of minutes, but in and out kind of minutes, and, you know, play off the rotation tightens up a little anyway. So, you know, maybe not as big a loss, although he's a terrific scorer. And Lawson with the plantar fascia, I love saying that, said it too much with Noah. So I think in the West, there's going to be some really great first round matchups. Sort of like the NCAA tournament in a sense, where it's kind of more interesting in the beginning to see who can upset who. And then once it gets toward the end, it loses some interest at times, which these NBA playoffs won't, especially, like I say, in the West, in almost any teams. And you know, if the Lakers get in and get on a little roll, it's hard to dismiss them as badly as they've played for 82 games. So anyway, you know, we finally made it to the end of the season, and those few guys who are still finishing the season, congratulations to them. We're proud of them, and we're glad to see they care about the game and their fans. And so we'll see if those who rested pays off for the playoffs or not. I don't think it would matter much with Miami. LeBron James does never look like he's tired anyway. And so we'll see. It is a long playoff run, 2 months if you're going to make a run. But it should be some terrific games and some terrific matchups, especially in the West. And I'm looking forward to it. So next week, we'll get back with you one time before. We should have most of the matchups pretty much lined up for sure. And then maybe I'll talk about the awards as the voting concludes next Wednesday for the finals. Like I say, I think LeBron's a unquestionably favorite and is going to win the MVP award. Lillard, obviously, Rookie of the Year. But there's going to be some interesting races in some of the others. So maybe we'll talk about that a little bit next week and then get ready for the playoffs. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for getting through my uhs and all those other things. And it could get worse if I'm going to Brooklyn for a week with the Bulls. Anyway, next week.